Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are joined by Buffalo's own Washington insider, Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning.
Good morning and great to be back with you. Joe, I must say, and now that you have a daily show, I feel a little intimidated talking to you here today.
Well, you have to imagine how I feel on Sundays. Like people know, oh, you do this 5 days a week now. You can't slack on Sundays.
That's for sure. Well, we're not going to slack today, that's for sure.
That's right. Lots to get into. And Dave, I was thinking, where do I start with Leventhal on this interview? And I thought, you know what? It's the one that everyone's talking about. Trump's own supporters, some of them, are turning on him. It's the Epstein thing. We're still talking about this. Dave, where do we stand? We're talking on Friday morning. Where do we stand on the Epstein files? What kind of files actually exist? And what are the two major parties in Washington saying?
Now, do we have half the day? Look, this is something where I suspect that we're not going to end our talk about this today, that people are going to be talking about this next week, and people are going to be talking about this next month at some level. Obviously, this has become a phenomenon for some people, an obsession for others even, and it's pretty difficult when people have for years and years have been hearing, hey, we're going to get to the bottom of this Epstein situation. If there are people who are tied to this, by all accounts, evil, horrible scumbag of a person, and they are powerful, they are wealthy, they are politically connected, we are going to out them. And we've heard this from Donald Trump's top supporters, people now in his administration, including Attorney General Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI, Kesh Patel, the director of the FBI, Donald Trump himself, Donald Trump's family, Donald Trump Jr., and many, many other people who are in Trump world. And so for Donald Trump to kind of pull a 180 here and say, look, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. Let's stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein. He's dead. He's gone. This is 6 years removed from when that happened. Then that has been a shock to a lot of people who really kind of can't believe what they're hearing. And you go back a week and you really kind of see the beginnings of the current fire that's raging when at the Turning Point USA conference down in Florida, Turning Point USA, a very loyal Trump organization, people there were just apoplectic. They were beside themselves and they couldn't believe that the Epstein files would not be released. And that Pam Bondi, when she talked earlier this year about releasing those files and that they were literally on her desk and that nothing would happen, well, that just didn't compute. So where things stand, at least as of the moment that we're talking, is that Donald Trump has asked Pam Bondi to secure the release of grand jury testimony around Jeffrey Epstein. Now, of course, he didn't go to trial because he died in a jail cell. But that is not nearly as far as Donald Trump and his administration could certainly go. We're not talking about FBI files being released with this. We're not talking about any other documentation or documents or testimony that may have taken place. So expect that this will maybe take the edge off a little bit, but it's hardly going to quell the outrage that is very much reverberating through through Trump world and MAGA world at this point.
So, Dave, is there people within the administration upset with Pam Bondi, either because they don't think she's releasing everything or because they think she spoke too soon when a few months ago she said, it's on my desk, we're going to release it?
Yeah, and here's sort of the catch-22. You on one end, either the Trump administration and people like Pam Bondi were making way too much of the Epstein files to begin with. Democrats, who are kind of having a field day with us at this point, they're saying, well, hey, look, either you were lying all along or there are people on this list, if it exists, that you're trying to hide and you're part of the conspiracy. So are you a liar or are you a part of a conspiracy? So that's kind of the straw man, some might say, but others would say the reality that is being set up by opponents of Donald Trump. But also too, that question is very much coursing through some Trump supporters' minds right now. It's like, well, wait, what's actually going on here? Is Donald Trump having the wool pulled over his eyes? Were people like Pam Bondi overpromising and under-delivering? You know, these are the questions that are very actively being debated here in Washington and all across the country in many, many corners. So this is why this is not going away. And if you believe that there actually is a conspiracy that is afoot here, and then you're being told by people who believed that there was a conspiracy that there is no conspiracy, it may be kind of difficult. That may be a bridge too far for you to step away from just saying, all right, well, no, nothing to see here. I agree.
The Wall Street Journal on Thursday night had a story, and it was interesting to see, Dave, because you have Chris Cuomo, who's a critic of the president, saying that it's a nothing burger, and then CNN, pretty much their entire night programming, except for Colbert, was about this. What was the Wall Street Journal bombshell, and where does it play into all of what's been going on the last 48 hours?
So most of us have seen the pictures, and if you haven't, just type in Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, seen photos of the two of them together cavorting at parties and seemingly having a grand old time. This is long before Jeffrey Epstein had been accused of anything in terms of sexual misconduct, and long before Donald Trump was a presidential candidate for the Republican Party. We got to go back about 20 years here. But what the Wall Street Journal is reporting is that Donald Trump wrote what was a pretty salacious and bawdy note for Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday that it showed the outlines and contours of a naked woman, suggested that Jeffrey Epstein was keeping secrets about things that he might be doing. It had Donald Trump's signature on it. Donald Trump says that it absolutely categorically is not his. Donald Trump has been known in the past to write notes of this sort to other people and do so as famous businessman Donald Trump in that context. And of course, this is going on more than two decades at this point. But Donald Trump is now threatening to sue the Wall Street Journal and its parent company. Rupert Murdoch, of course, owns it. So you have some real crazy crosswinds that are going here, that the very company that owns Fox News, for example, is in Donald Trump's crosshairs. And we know how Donald Trump can be litigious in situations like this. Just ask CBS News, just ask the Des Moines Register and several other news organizations where Donald Trump has either threatened to sue them or straight up sue them and reach settlements, ABC News being another very prominent one, and has gotten in some cases millions or even eight figures as a result of that. And it definitely is a lot of people are concerned in the media world that this is going to chill journalism and the First Amendment rights of journalists in the press. So expect that to be sort of a side drama to all of this. But now we have Donald Trump having to kind of be on the defensive again about this letter and what exactly his relationship was. This really kind of speaks to a deeper issue, which is if there is a list, a Jeffrey Epstein list, if there is documentation that shows rich and powerful people who might have been associated with Jeffrey Epstein or engaging in illegalities or legal actions, was Donald Trump himself on that list or people who were close to Donald Trump? There's no evidence that he is, but these, again, are questions going through people's minds wondering, well, why is Donald Trump so adamant now about not releasing these files after being so adamant about releasing the files, particularly during the 2024 presidential campaign, Joe?
I think you're right, David. This isn't the last we'll talk about it, obviously.
No.
Another big story this week was the defunding of public media, TV and radio, NPR and PBS, something that's been talked about since, I mean, that was talked about on the campaign trail. But, you know, Dave, it's obviously you're seeing the reaction to it now, but this is nothing new from Republicans, right? I mean, this was first proposed in the 80s.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Just earlier than that, and in funding for public television, funding for public media and radio, this has been something that has been debated since the beginning of this all happening. I mean, you should go and look at Mr. Rogers testifying before Congress. I mean, that was sort of the start of the debate over the funding back in the 60s of the funding for public media and what is the role of the federal government when it comes to funding media. We've, in the current context, had that discussion, of course, about funding entities that are much more directly government run, such as the Voice of America and Radio Free Europe and many of the other entities that exist to basically propagate a Western American democracy forward message to places that are demonstrably not free. And Donald Trump's administration has said we don't want to do that anymore in the way that we have. So that has been scaled back considerably. Now what we're talking about are domestic public radio and television outlets. And this is going to be a huge hit for, you know, of course, NPR. When you think of public radio, you think of NPR and the national entity here in Washington, D.C., which statistically receives about 2% of its funding from the federal government directly in the fashion that we're talking about right now. Who's really going to be hurt in all of this are the local stations. Okay, so in Buffalo, that's WNED and WBFO and Channel 17, you know, they've rebranded themselves as Buffalo-Toronto Public Media, which is kind of an interesting wrinkle to all of this, given that most public media stations don't have Canada wrapped in to it as well. So Buffalo truly has a cross-border international public media entity that exists. But, you know, I think locally, you're going to have to ask yourself, you know, would your day, would your week, would you be better off without those stations? How about your kids? How about your grandkids? And then extrapolate that all across the country for every city and region that has public media that may be profoundly affected, because it's not going to be 2% of their budget that kind of goes away overnight that they were expecting, that they were banking on, because this money had already been budgeted, because it had already been approved. They're talking about 5 or 10 or 15% or even more. So just think about this in terms of your household budget. If suddenly overnight 15% of your money just went away, you're going to have to make some very, very difficult decisions about how to budget your life. And these stations, in some cases, are operating kind of on a shoestring, and many of them serve rural areas very far away from Washington, D.C., aren't particularly political in many of the things that they do, a lot of cultural programming, a lot of music programming, and they just may not exist in the form and fashion that they do right now, or they may not exist at all, is the fear from public media supporters who are just very concerned that, this is going to mean the end for certain public radio stations and television stations across the country.
Now, you look at some of the programming, right? Like Sesame Street, that's no longer PBS. It's on PBS, but it's made by HBO now, and then I think it's been sold to someone else. Are other programs looking to branch out and be produced? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I would just say, look at the schedule of any local station that you have, be that a radio station or a TV station, and just look at the programming. The preponderance of the programming is not news, although the news hour and other politics forward kind of programming certainly do exist, and that's oftentimes what is being debated and the controversy centers around here in Washington, D.C. But many of these programs, again, they're cultural programs, they're music programs, they're science programs, they are drama, so fine arts, various other types of programming of that sort. So that's the kind of programming that will either be funded or not when you talk about it at the local level. And NPR, again, is a bit of a different discussion, because NPR and the locals, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, are not one and the same. And I think that that's been lost a little bit in this debate as to who actually is going to be affected when the money just simply goes away. Now, the money appears that it is going to be going away. So it's going to require many of these stations, many of these entities to certainly go into hyper fundraising mode and raise this money privately. And the argument for many Republicans, including Speaker Mike Johnson, is it's long past time for public media to be less public when it comes to at least the funding aspect of it, and that the government can't afford it. This is not the best expenditure of the money for the federal government, and that they should be able to find money elsewhere. That may be true for some, and it may not be true for others.
Dave, you have a piece right now out talking about a Maine law that it's a ballot initiative that would limit the amount of money anyone could contribute to a super PAC. What's the law now, and how would this change it?
Yeah, well, the law across the country is that super PACs, which are these political committees that can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money, they can get the money pretty much from everywhere. They can get it from corporations. They can get it from wealthy individuals. And they can go ahead and they can advocate or oppose politicians with as much money as they want to. And this stems in part from the Supreme Court's Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission decision back in 2010. And there was another federal case called SpeechNow.org versus FEC that really gave rise to super PAC. So flash forward 15 years, and there is this very curious situation in the state of Maine that could have implications beyond the state of Maine, where voters voted back last year to say, we are going to limit the amount of money that super PACs can raise, because we believe that it is a corrupting force in politics for a super PAC just to take as much money as possible and support a candidate, when we know that super PACs and candidates sometimes, even though they're not supposed to, can be in cahoots or share information or otherwise coordinate an effort, when the Supreme Court said that actually should not be happening. So the ballot initiative passed overwhelmingly. About 75% of voters voted for it. And there was a court challenge. And the federal district judge in Maine said, no, guys, it doesn't work that way. Super PACs can be allowed to take as much money as possible. The Citizens United decision is the law of the land. It is not. There's no evidence that this would be corrupting in a way that would, in essence, overrule the ruling of Citizens United, but the proponents of this have vowed to take it to the federal appeals court and really want to get this before the Supreme Court in hopes of changing the law. So this is flying kind of low under the radar, but at the same time, too, is worth watching, because this could mean if it was to go as far as the supporters of this new law in Maine, which has now been blocked, wanted to go, they wanted to go all the way to the Supreme Court and here in Washington, D.C., and in essence, kind of open up the debate again as to the role of money in politics at a time nationwide when we're seeing unprecedentedly high levels of spending both on the Republican and the Democratic side.
All right, Dave, talking about campaign finance. So the county executive here in Erie County is having a fundraiser in September. It's the Mark Poloncarz for County Executive fundraiser. He claims he's not running for office again, right? He said he's not going to run for another term in 27. So if the money he raises, what legally can those funds go to if it was raised under his campaign?
Yeah, so I don't know the particulars of this case, so just straight up, but this is something that we do see in the situation that you just described, and we also see at the federal level, too, about the role of money when it comes to committees of candidates who are no longer candidates, and the rules can be a little bit different at the local level, the state level, and the federal level. I just wrote a story earlier this week for Notice, the nonprofit news organization, about Kyrsten Sinema, the former senator who was a Democrat. She became an independent. She decided a year ago not to run for Congress or run for the U.S. Senate in Arizona and stepped down. But yet, new documents came to light that I reported on that indicated that she was still spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars from her U.S. Senate campaign committee, even though she's not running, similar situation, for public office. She doesn't really need a campaign committee for anything at all. And yet she was spending money on ski tickets, a security detail, airline tickets into the tens of thousands of dollars, hotel rooms, and so forth. So at the federal level, the Federal Election Commission is supposed to be calling balls and strikes on activities like that, but it doesn't have enough commissioners at the moment, Joe, to function. It needs four. It only has three. Who has the power to appoint commissioners to the FEC or nominate them at least with Senate approval? Well, that would be Donald Trump, and he hasn't done so yet. So whether it's at the local level, at the county level, as you're describing, or at the federal level, these are questions that get grappled with a whole lot. And sometimes you get some rather unsatisfying answers because of other political situations that are going on. And at the federal level, the Federal Election Commission's de facto shutdown looms very large over the situation.
Very interesting. Well, Dave, before we let you go, I have to say, you were on The National a few days ago, and I remember The National from Hockey Night in Canada because The National would do a quick 10-minute update between the two games.
Yeah, I did not get to hang out with Don Cherry at all, unfortunately, for this one. But yeah, we were talking about the Epstein files, and The National on CBC is something that many Buffalonians have watched or probably still do watch to some degree. But we were talking about the Epstein files, and I think it's fair to say that this is not just an American phenomenon. This is something that people in Canada and likely all over the world are paying attention to because it is really spiraled out of control, and that the president himself has lost control of the proverbial narrative. And it's turning out to be something where, really for the first time in his second term, where he's facing this kind of intramural fight that so often he enjoyed never having to get involved in because everyone was so lockstep supportive of him. But we saw little bits of, you know, cracks when the United States bombed Iran, for example, after Donald Trump, of course, had talked about staying out of foreign entanglements and wars and being a peacemaker. He was able to largely get beyond that because it was such a limited military involvement for the United States. But you know, this one with Epstein is just proving to be something that goes far, far beyond his ability at this point to say, hey, everyone move on. Nobody is moving on at this point. And it's wishful thinking that they will.
Well, Dave, next time they give you a call at The National, can you just say, hey, guys, it's 2025. Can we send an HD link to the states? It's the one channel on my cable package that's not in high definition. You know, it's tough to watch the Jets and the Canucks at 10:30 on a Saturday in standard def these days, Dave.
I hear you loud and clear. I suspect they would say talk to your cable provider.
Dave Leventhal, as always, great catching up with you, and we'll talk soon.
Likewise.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.